I'm Ashton Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE in the Middle East, still coming to terms with the triumph of NATO-armed al-Qaeda in what is left of Syria. A trail of destruction from Moldova to Romania to Georgia to Ukraine is being blazed by the defeated Biden-Harris regime in Washington ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration. Both Turkey and Israel have now invaded Syria, but it is Netanyahu who has taken responsibility for ending the rule of Bashar al-Assad, finishing the supply route for aid to Lebanon and Palestine, also invaded by Israel. Given wider war now almost a certainty, this Christmas arguably looks less peaceful than ever in the Holy Land. Ironic that today is South Africa's self-declared day of reconciliation after the decades of US-UK-EU armed apartheid there. That's South Africa, which of course brought the NATO-armed genocide in Gaza case to the dying International Criminal Court. Opponent of Zionism and long-time campaigner for human rights all around the world, Roger Waters, the legendary Pink Floyd frontman, joins me now from the Caribbean. Roger, thanks so much for coming back on Going Underground. I'd rather talk about the sequence, chord sequence, I don't know, to wish you were here. But you know why we're both here. You've tirelessly supported Palestine, Palestinians, the UN resolutions violated by Britain, the United States, the European Union armed Israel. Is it now over for Palestine, given the crucial nation of Syria has been defeated?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we, as the months unfold. None of us wake up in the morning thinking, oh, well, that's better. Oh, well, this is all right now. You know, you would... telling me before we went on about the new pictures of Jabalia refugee camp, and it's, you know, looks like a runway, a military airport that's been bombed.
In Gaza.
In Gaza, yeah, we're talking about Gaza now. I'm talking about Gaza, yeah, mainly now. However, it is super important in these moments to stand firm, to keep standing up. Every morning when we wake up and when we you know, dry our eyes, stop weeping for our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Syria as well. Though, of course, many people all over the world now are whooping and hollering, oh, Syria's free. Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens in Syria before we jump up and down too much. But we have to say that we are watching the machinations of possibly the end of empire, the Western empires here. The mask is off. We, the West, are behaving with unbearable brutality towards oppressed peoples all over the world. Mainly, I focus my work on Palestine and Gaza. Will this continue? My sense is that we, the people, hate it. We hate the brutality of our governments. We hate the fact that our governments clearly don't give a fig for the Geneva Conventions or for any kind of rule of international law, which is something that we thought they believed in. Why did we think that our governments believed in these things? Because they told us that they did over and over again. You know, ever since 1948, really, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in Paris, December the 10th, 1948, they've been telling us that they care about human rights. And they now said that now the mask is off, and that because of the genocide that's being perpetrated by the Israeli government in Palestine and our governments, well, mine in the UK, and obviously the government in the United States and France and Germany and Holland and blah, 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 are saying that actually we never believed any of that. We never have, because obviously if we did believe in it, then we would be insisting on the implementation of the ICJ ruling about the genocide going on in Gaza. And we're not. We're standing on the sidelines and we're waving our Israeli flags and we're rah-rahing the slaughtering of every human being in Palestine. Their intention is to slaughter every man, woman, and child. So So when you wake up in the morning, feeling sort of defeated, if one does, you have to pull yourself together and go, no, I am not alone, Afshin. And neither are you, my friend. We are surrounded by billions of human beings who, like us, recognize the calumny of what's going on, not just in Gaza, but many places in the world. And we are standing shoulder to shoulder. We are taking to the streets in huge numbers in all the big cities all over the world to demonstrate our support for a future where international law is applied. And rogue states like Israel and the United States of America and the United Kingdom cannot get away with their war crimes, the war crimes that they are committing day by day by day and on and on and on. So this all tumbles into our memories of our friend Julian Assange being in Belmarsh for 4 years and all of that revolution, the WikiLeaks revolution, when suddenly we discovered through technology ways to discover the truth about what is actually happening in our lives. And wouldn't it be wonderful, Afshin, if you were allowed to do your job completely and properly, but if you were allowed to do it with the support of the governing bodies, imagine if we were actually allowed to have a real investigation, for instance, into two things, not random, October the 7th. How wonderful would it be if there was allowed to be an international investigation into what actually happened on October the 7th in southern Israel? Okay, who did what to whom? How many people were actually killed? Whether there was any rape or there wasn't any, and all of those things. But of course, the Israeli government will not allow an investigation, and probably neither would the American government. So that's one thing. And the other thing, which is a bit closer, even closer to home now, is what actually has been happening in Syria all these years. You know,
well, I tell you, Roger, we'll get into some of that. You haven't been ongoing underground since before Julian was released, our mutual friend. But since we are both British, the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, headed the Crown Prosecution Service, which we know was responsible for trying to make fake sex claims against Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. And he was in Cyprus on the base in occupied Cyprus at Akrotiri this week, or in the past few days anyway, saying quite a bit of what goes on here can't necessarily be talked about. We can't tell the world what you're doing. Of course, referring presumably to Britain's participation in the genocide in Gaza. I mean, what does that make you feel? And as you intimate, of course, some of the greatest demonstrations by the people against UK, US, EU armed Israel have been in London and in Birmingham and in Glasgow and in all over Britain against Israel.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, Afshin, because I watched that on my phone, and it was Keir Starmer making a stump speech, apparently to some RAF personnel in Cyprus, and that thing. Well, Keir Starmer is the stump. He doesn't have to stand on a stump. He is a stump, you know, and that's all he is. I'm happy to read reports all the time that filter through our mainstream media that his premiership in the United Kingdom is turning about out to be an absolute disaster and that he may be unseated at any time by the power of public opinion. The sooner, the better, because he is an opportunist of the worst kind. And also, his history is packed with unsavory associations with MI5 and MI6 and all kinds of stuff that we absolutely do not want in a prime minister in the UK. What he was doing in Cyprus, I have no idea. You could maybe explain it to me. But there are more important things in life.
Well, it was the spy planes that the Israelis rely on, yeah, presumably.
Yeah, that Matt Kennard has been explaining to us all. Those of us who follow Matt Kennard, I know you do.
He was on the show last week. The other week.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. And I've been following his stories, which have been extremely detailed. And I am so ashamed to be an Englishman reading his reports of what we have been doing to be complicit in the genocide that is being perpetrated in the occupied territories in Gaza and the West Bank in Palestine. Deeply, deeply ashamed to be an Englishman under these circumstances. So well done, Matt Kennard. Thank you.
But you were talking earlier about the need to be hopeful, the importance of the fact that so many people around the world believe, like you do, that this is genocide. I don't know. Take it back to, you've been telling concert audiences for decades about threats to their freedom and the coming of, the visions of Aldous Huxley and George Orwell. That came to pass. And you've been warning about what would happen to Palestine, and that seems to have come to pass. So where's the optimism coming from?
It's coming from a deep well of truth and love that I have here, that I carry around with me. But it has to be a deep well. Because to fight these criminal lunatics who are trying to destroy the world that we all call home is a desperate fight at the moment. And as I keep saying again and again, we are all of us, you, me, Afshin, and Matt Kennard and Julian Assange and everybody else who is trying to tell the truth about anything, we are involved in an existential battle for the soul of the human race. If the empire wins this battle, then our children and grandchildren and any survivors of any of this stuff in the future will have to live in a world where we've just all agreed that genocide is okay. Yeah, sorry, we got it all wrong. We thought after the Second World War that we could civilize ourselves and that we could live under the rule of international law, that there were rules because we believed in a moral compass. If they win, if the Bidens and Blinkens and Obamas and Trumps and Newlands and Sullivans and the rest of them in Washington and the Keir Starmers in England and the Farages, if they win this existential battle for the soul of the human race, we will live in a future where you've got a gun, you should shoot anyone who doesn't agree with you or who thinks that there should be universal human rights, like the Palestinians do. That's all they're asking for, is equal rights for everyone who lives between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. That's all. It's as simple as that. Equal civil, religious, and political rights.
Roger Waters, I'll stop you there. More from the legendary Pink Floyd frontman after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with legendary Pink Floyd frontman, Roger Waters. Roger, you were talking about hope in part one. But of course, what we've been seeing in Syria, and I know you flew into Syria, I think in the middle of the war to rescue someone. A lot of the people that support Palestine have been celebrating the end of Assad in Syria. And these are the same sort of pro-Palestine people that regurgitated stuff about chemical weapons attacks and the need to aerially bombard Syria. Do you think even the propaganda media in NATO countries and the vassal states of Washington are going, hang on a minute, this is the ISIS flag that's flying on the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus. We've got to be a little bit careful. Maybe they've learned something from Afghanistan?
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they're that subtle, you know. I think they're going rah-rah and throwing their hats in the air because this is the opportunity to do that. You know, the Wicked Witch is gone. He's slunk off to Moscow with his tail between his legs. So now we can celebrate. And thank goodness, freedom has come to the country. What? Syria has been occupied since 2013. There are 1,000 American troops stealing the oil. The guy who's about to be the new president of the United States went public years and years ago and said, we have to stay there and steal the oil. And they've been doing it ever since. And they're completely open and honest about it. It's exactly what I was talking about before the break. We are a gang of powerful gangsters here, and we're going to steal everything that there is in the world that's worth stealing. And one of those things is the oil that belongs to the people of Syria. We'll steal it and probably bring down the government. Yeah, well, well done. You did bring down the government, and you did it by stealing their oil and by applying economic sanctions to them. They never had a chance. They never had a chance. At the end of the day, obviously, Assad made huge mistakes and blunders. I've no idea who Assad was. I know he was a trained ophthalmologist and that he was never meant to be the leader of Syria. His brother was meant to be the leader. And the brother, rather inconveniently, killed himself in a car crash. That's the only reason Bashar Assad came.
He didn't kill himself, I should add. And I, of course, people can watch my interview with
somebody, he had a car crash.
Okay. People can watch my interview online somewhere, maybe, unless if it's not been deleted with Assad now living in Moscow. We invite him on.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, you were saying about the people cheering the end of Assad.
Yeah. So let's wait and see what happens, shall we? I looked at the map yesterday of what happened to Syria between 2011 and now, and the way that the battle lines have gone backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. So let's just wait and see what happens now and what Erdogan does and what happens to the Kurds in northeast Syria and so on and so on and so forth. I'll tell you something that has been happening, and this is gossip, but it's my gossip. And that is, and I'm encouraged by this, and maybe I shouldn't be. I released something on Substack the other day, which is I released the emails that went backwards and forwards between me and Tom York of the band Radiohead. I don't know if you've seen them, but you can if you want. Just go to my Substack page.
This is Tom York of Radiohead, who walked off stage recently because hecklers were... talking about the genocide.
Yeah, he was heckled by a pro-Palestinian protester because the aftermath of Radiohead playing in Tel Aviv in 2017, when I wrote the emails to Tom York to encourage him to join the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement and not perform in Israel. And he then went on and did interviews with Rolling Stone where he lied about it. He just lied through his teeth. And that's always weird when you have somebody like that whose music you might like or you might respect, and you might think they stand for something and that there's something in their music that makes you think that they maybe are trying to tell the truth in some way about things. And then you see them in an interview with Rolling Stone lying and lying. And his big lie was that people in BDS refused to have a conversation with him. That's why I published my emails, because my emails are begging him. I'm a proxy for the BDS movement to have the conversation. And it goes in print saying that nobody would speak to them. We just threw shit at them from a month. Well, it's complete porky pie, Tommy boy. And you shouldn't be telling those porky pie. Anyway, what I'm saying is I'm encouraged by the fact that suddenly lots of people are looking at my Substack thing now. So I spend my days deleting the hundreds of new subscribers. No, I'm not deleting the subscribers, the notification, because you have to actually, but thank you all for subscribing and for reading the piece, and because this is what we need to be doing. We have an opportunity to stand shoulder to shoulder now and rail against the powers that be and say, no, Blinken, no Biden, no Trump. We do not accept genocide as a modus operandi or operandum for our future actions on this planet that we, the human race, are trying to organize in a way that is beneficial to all of us.
Well, if consumer boycotts,
I need interrupting.
Consumer boycotts are a bit middle class, arguably, but it is South Africa Reconciliation Day, and culture is fundamental to the war. And the ability of Hollywood culture, television culture, music, art, literature, poetry, obviously has been important in conditioning the minds of the NATO countries to believe that the genocide was okay this year. But then on the other hand, it is, as I said, the South Africa Reconciliation Day. No one cares. That I think the guitarist from Queen, Brian May, has been twice on this show. And I didn't mention it to him, but no one cares that he played Sun City with the band Queen. And I think we should all be able to maybe reel off the names who played Sun City in defiance of Nelson Mandela's plea. Sorry, you didn't, did you?
Elton John.
Elton John. Sir Elton John.
Ian Warwick. Blah,
see,
blah,
no one cares. So that's another problem to the fact that we've witnessed genocide all this year. And Hollywood, all those actors that are parading to Zelensky in Kiev, let alone who have done tours in Israel, nothing comes of it. Do they swing round in the end? I suppose now all those, Elton John probably supports anti-racist efforts in South Africa now, I assume.
Well, we've all lived through the same bit of history, Afshin, and some people are more subject to the propaganda of the ruling class than others. I think it depends very largely. It depends on geography, but it also depends on who your parents were. I was lucky enough to have been born to very passionate, politically committed parents. My father died killing the Nazis, or trying to kill Nazis on the Anzio Bridgehead. They killed him, whatever. And my mother was deeply committed to the predicament of the working class in England, and in consequence was a member of the Communist Party. So I grew up with a dead father, which has been a defining factor of my entire life. I understand what it means to be a baby and everybody around you is being killed, or the important ones. So when I see those pictures of those children, those babies in Gaza, I went through nothing compared to what they've been forced through. But I cannot but empathize with them. So my empathy, I'm 81 years old, my empathy remains intact. That's why I can't stand by silent and indifferent, like Brian May or Elton John or whatever. They have different pasts, and maybe they believe Keir Starmer's rank, disgusting cheering on the boys to go on their spy missions over Gaza so that the Israelis can more accurately drop their bombs on Rafik Aria, or whoever it may be that they've pinpointed. What is it they call it? Daddy's home. They follow you to your apartment and kill you and your whole family if you're important. And then if you're not important, who cares? They're just going to kill everyone. So we can't, it's hard to point the finger at these because they grew up in families or in an atmosphere where nobody gave an F about any of it. I assume, because how anyone can stand by silent and indifferent now while this genocide is being committed in Gaza and the occupied West Bank in Palestine, I do not know. All I know is that when I wake up in the morning, I have to do something to thank God for you, Afshin, and I can talk to you. Because when we've had our conversation, I will at least feel you've done something today, Roger. You've been given the opportunity to speak your mind and to show how much you care about all your brothers and sisters and all the Israelis. Imagine being brought up in that hellhole of rank prejudice and supremacy, racial and religious supremacy. What a disgusting atmosphere to have to grow up in. Imagine being an Israeli Jew. I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine. Thank goodness some of them are standing up. You know, Miko Peled, for instance. Gideon Levy, my friend. And they stand up. You know, Ronnie Barkham, who now lives in Germany or where. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. But we have to unite. There are billions of us. There are many, many more of us than there are of them. Because basically they are the ruling classes and their acolytes. And there are a lot more of the classes that do not rule than there are of ruling classes. But we have to go on being vocal. We have to go on taking to the streets. We have to go on protesting. We have to go on having an open mind. We have to go on believing in truth and love. Those two words are central to our mantra and universal human rights. That is the most important platform upon which we all stand.
Roger Waters, you've tirelessly promoted the cause of human rights for hundreds of thousands of people over the past couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you, Afshin. It's been a pleasure, as always.
And that's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those surviving UK-US EU armed genocide here in this region. We'll turn to Hollywood propaganda on Saturday's show with an Oscar-nominated screenwriter who funded the Black Panthers. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.